A harvest festival is nothing if not a celebration of creation. A celebration of the creative power of God and a celebration of the creative endeavour of humanity in working with God's creation in the cause of the flourishing of crops, fruit and other plants for the feeding of humanity. Many people, and I would count myself amongst them, would claim that creation, that the natural world, that the created order of things testify not just to God's existence, but to God's character and to God's very nature. This is something which Scripture points to on a number of occasions. The wonderful poetic language of today's psalm, which we began the service with, eloquently states, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge." Whilst we're with perhaps customary bluntness and clarity of language and slightly less of a poetic flourish, Paul states in his letter to the Romans, "Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." And these notions about God's revelation through creation have been developed by many thinkers throughout the church's history. A particular favourite description of mine being of nature as God's, what's described as God's second and public manuscript. That is that whilst the Bible details the specifics of the Christian faith to the faithful, nature testifies to all who would cast their sight and smell and hear and all their senses upon it. Franciscan friar and writer Richard Rohr argues that even though we can't see God, we can discover God in what God has created. And that a theology of creation starts not with the world's problems and with redemption from those problems, which comes later, but a theology of creation starts with God's very good creation. Saint Bonaventure calls creation God's fingerprint. And it would be my suggestion today that by studying that fingerprint, by reading that second and public manuscript, by deliberately seeking to perceive God's invisible nature in creation, of listening to those voices of the heavens telling of the glory of God, to listening to what the firmament is telling us about God through God's handiwork, that through all of this, we might become more and more aware of God's work, not simply in creation, but in our lives. And I would suggest that recognising this is a first step towards living a life of gratitude, epitomised by our harvest celebrations today. Look, we are saying, through our prayers and our hymns, through this wonderful display that we have before us, through our gifts and through our donations. Look, we are saying, to one another, to the world and to God. Look at what God has provided for us. Look at God's gifts to us in and through creation, and also through the creativity and toil of many. And look, if we want to, look deeper still at the many other blessings and gifts which each of us could surely say that we have received today. We so often focus on what we don't have, and I know this is something that I myself am guilty of pretty much every day, but harvest reminds us to have a thankful heart, to count our blessings, to recognise and to name the gifts which we have received, and to give thanks. But of course, if we are to take seriously not just the impression of God which can be gleaned from the created order of things, but the whole testimony of Scripture, then we are forced to face the question at the heart of today's Gospel reading, and I would argue at the centre and the heart of the entire Gospel. The question posed by Jesus to Peter, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" After all this general, discernible revelation of God in creation, Jesus becomes the focal point, the ultimate revelation of God and God's nature, the ultimate gift from God. Jesus is both a fulfillment of creation theology, being as he is the fullest expression of God's creativity, and he is also the fulfilment of God's redemptive mission to a world and to a people so often estranged from that creative source. And as Peter simply states, you are the Messiah. Who do you say I am? You are the Messiah. A simple statement, you could argue, but one with complex and far-reaching implications for us and for all of creation. The gift of love, of peace, of forgiveness, of a transformative relationship with God, amongst many other things. And so Jesus becomes for us yet another gift, another reason to be thankful, to express gratitude for, to give praise and thanksgiving to God for, especially at this harvest time. And yet, of course, if we are to take seriously what we receive from creation and in Scripture and in Jesus Christ, then it can't just end there. It can't just end with a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. Because creation and Scripture and Jesus Christ speak ceaselessly of God's self-giving nature and of the imperative for those who have received God's gifts and provision to share them with one another. We touched on this last week as well when we were looking at James's teaching about faith and works, about that imperative throughout Scripture to feed those who are hungry, to clothe those who are cold, to shelter those who are homeless, to provide refuge for the refugee. And in Deuteronomy, we've heard a couple of times now, but it bears repeating. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. When you beat the olives from the trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. For me, this kind of activity is the outworking, the outpouring, the overflowing of all that we have received in and through the God of creation, the God of redemption, the God who is revealed most fully in Jesus, the Messiah. It requires a deliberate way of living which builds in, as a matter of principle, the care and provision for the stranger, for the foreigner, for the alien. To what extent do we build this into our own lives and into our own budgets? To what extent do we build these kind of principles into the life and budgets of the church? Today's gospel finds Jesus urging us to take up the cross and follow him. The cross of sacrifice, the cross of love, the cross of self-giving. To what degree are we really prepared to lay down our lives for others, to put others' needs before our own? And I have to confess again that I find this very often to be difficult. Putting others' needs before our own sounds good in principle, but is often difficult in practice. Similar challenges are found in many other places, nowhere more prominently than Matthew 25, where we are asked the question of whether we have recognised and served Christ in the least of our brothers and sisters. Do we see and serve Christ in the hungry and the thirsty, in the poor and in the broken? As Mother Teresa has said, do we see Christ in his most distressing disguise? Do we serve Christ in this most distressing of disguises? Of course, the ways in which we might serve Christ in this way are almost endless, which is part of the problem, I think, in today's world. How do we respond to so much need? How do we prioritise? How do we budget with our limited resources for the care that we might provide? And so I wouldn't want to be someone who is prescriptive about how we go about this. But as a church, we have chosen this harvest to raise funds towards the work of All We Can, the Methodist Relief and Development Fund, and also to give the non-perishable goods to our local food bank to help those both far and both those far away and those local who are in need. And personally, I would again want us to touch upon and to highlight what we talked about last week, the issue that's difficult for us to escape from and to look away from currently, the plight of the refugees escaping from Syria. We might have a million different ideas about what we might want to do about that, but interestingly, as I've looked into it a bit this week, one of the things that's still said is the most useful response that people, individuals or groups can make to such a crisis is by giving financially to those who are the charities and agencies who are already doing that work. It's not necessarily our job to start a whole other fund and a whole other charity or try and do something, but to give to those that are already equipped to make those kinds of the kind of action and changes that are required. So we might want to consider how we give financially to one of the local charities, and I've suggested a number, and we've got some printed out when we go through for coffee, of some charities that might be the kind of things that you would consider donating to. We might also want to consider writing to our local MPs. We might want to sign the petition that's ongoing to urging the government to consider and to reconsider its commitment to the refugees. Methodism, if you've got Methodist bones in your body, or even if you're new to it, Methodism is a movement rooted and motivated often by protest, by standing up for those who need it most. Beyond that, there might even be some of us here that God is calling to open up our homes, either in the short term or long term, to welcome families or orphan children into our care. And again, there are organisations which are, if that's something that people feel God has put on their heart, there are organisations which you can get in touch with to consider how you might respond in those kind of issues. These are big, challenging issues, I know, but we believe, as we sang earlier, in a great big God. And so let us ask again, as individuals and as a church, for God's presence and God's guidance as we discern what he might be calling us to do, as individuals, as families, and as a church. Like I said, I've printed out some articles and other bits of information through the back if people want to look further into that over coffee. So, we're celebrating our Harvest Festival this morning, and in celebrating Harvest, we give thanks for all that God does, of all that God has given to us, and we commit ourselves again to the outworking, the overflowing, the outpouring of those gifts that we have received into the lives of others. Amen.